When I was in the Holy Land, we visited Caesarea Philippi, beautiful place, very lush. But it's a rather unique place, because in Jesus' day, this would have been a place for pagan worship. They had all these niches with statues of idols in them. The one I always remember, it was a dancing goat. I always thought that was kind of funny, a dancing goat they worshipped. So here Jesus is with Peter and the apostles in that spot. And he asks them the question, who do you say that I am? Because obviously it's not making an impact on the people. They're not getting who he is. They're thinking of him as John the Baptist or one of the prophets. So Jesus has to say to the apostles, are you getting it? Do you know who I am? And Peter, from the depths of his heart, with a deep faith and love and commitment, proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In that place, where there were pagan gods, Peter proclaims Jesus, the Son of the one true God. And in that spot, it's such a huge mountain where these niches are. It's a huge rock cliff. And there he tells him, Peter, you are rock. And the word for Peter in Latin is Petrus, which means rock. So you are rock. He's looking at this huge mountain of rock. He says, Peter, you are rock, and upon you I will build my church. Upon your faith, I will build my church. It's quite an image. And even for me standing there 2,000 years later, seeing that spot, it makes a deep impact. Peter, the rock, the church is built upon Peter's faith, and we are promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, which is a huge consolation to me. It is here we have the roots of the papacy. The first pope, St. Peter the Fisherman, is given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Just as in our first reading today, Eliakim is given the keys of the house of David, Peter is given the keys of the kingdom of heaven to open and to shut, to bind and to loose. And this is not on his own whims or in his own selfish desires. He does it based upon what the authority has been given to him. Christ is the invisible head of the church. Peter is the visible head of the church and speaks for Christ in matters of faith and morals. Kind of like if somebody goes and says to their sibling, Mom says or Dad says, it's not that child's own prerogative, but they are speaking on behalf of their parents with that authority to do whatever the parent has said to do. Peter and all the popes speak in the name of Christ in matters of faith and morals. In matters of faith and morals, the church cannot err. The pope can err on himself. He can sin. He makes mistakes. He's not impeccable. But in matters of faith and morals, based on sacred tradition and the Holy Scriptures, he teaches us the truth. And that is such a consolation for us because the pope is a source of that truth to convey it, which means it keeps us all united together in Christ. It brings us together as a family of believers that we are all united in the one singular purpose of what Christ intended for his people so that we can grow in holiness and virtue. Pope Francis, even to this day, as a successor to St. Peter, continues to preach and teach the truth in leading us to become God's holy people. Christ reveals through the scriptures and the sacred traditions of what we are to be. From the time of the apostles to the present day, that has been unbroken. And because of this, we form a unity of faithful people. In listening to other faith traditions, they sometimes don't understand this, what we call papal infallibility. They may think, well, I believe this. And another group says, well, I believe this. And neither one of them match up. So how can there be unity? How can there be a cohesion if we call ourselves Christian believers? We need the truth. But unfortunately, in our own day, so many things have become subjective. So we have to have that objective truth to be able to hold on to what we believe and what means brings us purpose and direction in our lives. Without it, why bother? We can just all do whatever we want, and that can cause us great harm for ourselves and for the community at large. Jesus entrusting his authority to Peter keeps us grounded in that truth. The Pope keeps us in unity with each other and with all believers throughout the centuries. And united with Christ, the Church is a true gift for our lives, and for her, I am truly grateful. But in this gospel reading today, too, we have to answer that question that Jesus poses to the apostles. Who do you say that I am? Who is Christ to you? For we all must make that decision in our lives to be true disciples. And if he's offering us the way to salvation through the scriptures and the sacred tradition, then we are the assurance that we are on the right path. When we make up things or dilute things or ignore things, we're falling off that path. So do we know who Christ is? Who do you say that I am? And may the Holy Spirit constantly inspire us to respond to God's voice moving to our lives, the voice of Christ calling to us through the scriptures and the teachings of the Church to help us make us a family of believers. In this family of believers today, we have one of our parishioners, John Paul, who's going to be making his first Holy Communion. Today is a great day for you and for your family, but it's a great day for our parish community because you join us around the altar of the Lord. You are formed into God's person, into his child, into his family of believers. I wish you had the chance to be able to be with your fellow classmates, but these are crazy days, and I hope that this day is still a special day in your life. I hope that God will continue to inspire you to hear his voice and to come each Sunday to the table of the Lord to be refreshed and renewed in his truth.